grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Our text for this morning's sermon is the 85th Psalm. We heard the first verse of that psalm when the cantor sang the so-called introit or entrance chant just a few moments ago. We now hear verses 1 and 2, verses 4 through 7, and verses 9 through 11 of Psalm 85. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. So far the text. I'm sure that all of us are familiar with the wonderful words of the Old Testament lesson read on this third Sunday in Advent. And who can hear those words without thinking about Handel's wonderful musical setting of them in the Messiah? Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For the ancient Israelites who first heard these words of Isaiah, these words were a word of promise that Israel's long exile in Babylon would come to an end and that God would bring them back to their homeland. But when we consider these words in the light of Christ, we see in them God's gracious promise that the exile of the whole human race's estrangement from its maker will be ended through Christ, for whom John the Baptist, the voice crying in the wilderness, would prepare the way. Dating the time when any number of psalms were written is often far from easy. But there seems to be a consensus that this 85th psalm, which we're thinking about this morning, comes from the time of the return of the people of Israel from their long Babylonian captivity. But that return from captivity had failed to meet the glowing expectations of the returning exiles. The delight which the people had at first taken in their deliverance from exile had been tempered by bitter experience. And so in this psalm, we see something of that already but not yet reality, which is so much at the heart of this Advent season. The Lord has already come, but he has not yet come again. In this psalm, we do find joy at the end of the Babylonian captivity, as the psalmist prays, "Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin." Yes, there is joy in this song, but there is at the same time an acute sense of disappointment in the reduced circumstances of the returned exiles and in their continuing sinfulness. Yes, the exile is ended, but we are not yet fully at home. And so the psalmist prays, "Turn us then, O God of our salvation, and let thine anger cease from us. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." And so, in the plight of the returned exiles and in their prayer, we sense something of our own disappointments, our own disillusionments. Yes, we sense that special Advent awareness of the already, but not yet, of our salvation. We are already reconciled to God through the finished work of Christ. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, we'll sing at Christmas. We are already reconciled to God, already freely and fully forgiven, and in that sense delivered from the exile of estrangement from our Maker. But we do not yet possess the fullness of our redemption. Already, but not yet. Not only during this holy season of Advent, but during our whole life as Christians, we live in that tension. And so we find ourselves a bit like the disappointed band of exiles returned from Babylon, still experiencing something of the pangs of exile, the awkwardness of living with a self not yet perfectly conformed to our Maker's will, and never in any final sense able to call our transitory surroundings home. Already, but not yet. But this psalm does not end on a plaintive note. It ends on a note of confident faith as the psalmist goes on to pray, surely his salvation is near them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. In the grim days, just before the exile in Babylon, the prophet Jeremiah had dared to proclaim the coming of a righteous branch of the house and lineage of David, who would bear the awesome name, the Lord, our righteousness. Now, how much Jeremiah and the believers of his day understood about these words, we can't know with certainty. But as those who live in the already of God's finished reconciling work in Christ, we know that these words refer to Jesus, the righteous branch, the Lord, our righteousness. Because in him the Lord God Almighty has become flesh and dwelt among us, has tabernacled among us, has pitched his tent among us, the tent of his spotless humanity taken from Mary. The psalmist prays, mercy and truth are met together. Saint John wrote, the word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. And St. John's words, full of grace and truth, are but the echo of the psalmist's words, mercy and truth are met together, because mercy is God's grace, his forgiving love. Truth is God's utter dependability, his utter faithfulness to his promises. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And as the psalmist goes on to say, truth shall spring out of the earth, out of the lowly virgin's womb, and righteousness shall look down from heaven, the righteous Lord, the Lord who is our righteousness, the Lord who is our peace, the faithful Lord God who kept his promises spoken through the prophets and came in all humility to be our Savior, and who will come again in glory to make all things new. For the time being, we live in the already but not yet of this Advent season of expectation and hope. For the time being, we live in the already but not yet of our whole life as Christians. We simply do not know when or precisely how the end will come. But we know him who is the end, just as he is the beginning of all things, because he is the one through whom all things were made. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he is no stranger. He is Emmanuel, God with us, the one who was and who is and who is to come, our Savior. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And now, having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible.